Okay. Today's topic is Davar Charif. And I think that this is one of those topics that often comes up for people and we hear about it in passing. Oh, it's different because you used an onion. Oh, it's different because you used a lemon. And we sort of like think we understand what's going on. But tonight we're going to delve fully into the topic of we've learned the general rules of basar v'chalav, the way that applies to absorption into utensils, the way that works with parv foods. That's what we covered last week with the idea of not bar not, that we have certain patterns of absorption and how that's then reabsorbed into food, or is it reabsorbed? But when it comes to davar charif, foods with a specifically strong or spicy taste, sharp taste, the rules are going to be different. The way that I understand this is we all know that if you cut an item, if you cut an onion with a knife, that flavor is going to stay with the knife, right? If you then go and you cut up a banana, your banana is going to taste like onions. So we all understand that there's something that's by nature different about certain tastes. If I cut a banana, by the time I cut the next item, like my first slice of potato may taste a little banana-y, but it's not going to be that if I cut an entire potato, it will still taste like banana. But if I cut an onion and then I cut an entire potato, probably the entire potato will still taste like onion. So these items that we're going to go through, the list is usually garlic, onions, radishes, spicy peppers, pickles, pickled olives, and lemons. Those are in general going to be our sharp foods. And what we're going to discuss tonight is how the rules of those sharp foods are going to be different from other foods that we deal with in terms of using them with meat, using them with dairy, cooking them with one, and then wanting to use them with the other. It's going to have its own set of rules, even when they're used cold. So we're talking here about cold onions, cold lemons, cold radishes, cold spicy peppers, and how are they going to be affected by the utensils that are used with them. So if we look in the Gemara Maseches Chulin, in source number 18, Amar Chizkiya Mishum Abaye. Hilchita. So Chizkiya tells us the halacha is tsanun shachatcho b'sakin shachatach ba'basar. If you cut a radish with a knife that was used to cut meat, asur lo'ochlo b'kutach, you can't eat it with a dairy dish. V'hanimile tsanun. Why does it specifically say a radish? De'agav chorfei bala, but because of the sharpness, the flavor is absorbed differently. So we explained in the previous section of the shiur that it is permitted to eat a parv food cooked in a meat pot together with dairy. Again, according to the Rama, this was a bidi'eved situation, whereas according to the Shulchan Aruch, this could even have been lechatchila if it was not yet mixed with dairy, since the taste is absorbed by the power of food from the pot alone. So that was what we covered last week, that if you cook a power of food in a fleshig pot and then you want to eat it with dairy, we say that that is going to be okay, either bidyeved or lechatchila, depending on whether you are Ashkenaz or Sfard, because the power of food is not absorbing from meat itself. It's absorbing from the pot that absorbed from the meat. So it's a secondhand absorption, and therefore we said that it is okay, that the absorption is not strong enough for it to be significant, because it is considered a case of not bar not. Nevertheless, in the case of a davar charif that is cut by a meat knife, the flavor of the meat is considered to have been transferred to the food directly. That we say because of the sharp nature of this item, if it's cut with a meat knife, then the meat flavor we say is being absorbed directly into that item. And it is not treated as a regular case of not bar not. Rashi gives us two reasons for this. So why would we say that? Why would we say that it's as if it's a direct absorption, that even if you're using a fleshig knife, whereas typically if you were to cut, let's say, a piece of fish, we would say that's not bar not. Here, we're saying that it's as if it directly absorbed the meat. And Rashi is giving us two possible reasons as to why that is. So if you look in source number 19, we learned previously that if there's fish that was cooked in a fleshig pot, or put in a fleshig pot, it's allowed to be eaten with dairy. Because the ta'am, the flavor, is not coming from the meat itself. Ella notin ta'am habami notin ta'am. Rather, the flavor is coming from something that already absorbed the flavor from something else. Because a regular pot, you clean it. Mishuman hakarusha leha, from any residual fat or residue that would be left on it. Mishamias, because it would be gross. Aval bisakin, when it comes to a knife. Aleph. Pa'amim shahashmunit. That was a tough one. Karush alav, ve'eno nikar. Sometimes there's residue that is absorbed onto it that's still there. However, it's not noticeable. Like sometimes there will be residue that's left on a knife that it's not so apparent. V'kishachotech b'tzanun, havi notin ta'am habamin hamamish. And therefore, if you were to go cut the radish, the flavor would be coming from the item itself. So it would be the residue itself would be cutting through the radish. Or bet, or the other reason. V'od, d'mishum chorfia bala tapi midagim harotchim, v'agav, in addition, due to its sharpness, it absorbs more than the hot fish would absorb. And due to the pressure of the knife expels meat flavor and the radish absorbs. So Rashi's giving us two reasons as to why it would be a problem, even if it's cold, to cut a sharp food with a fleshig knife and then use it with dairy. The first is that he said, a regular dish, you clean it well. When it comes to a knife, most people will rinse it off. And therefore, he said that it's a possibility that the knife still has residue and that that's going to be absorbed by what you're cutting. And since the food is sharp, it's going to absorb it. The second reason that he gives is that he says that the action of cutting releases the flavor that was absorbed and the sharpness of the food absorbs more than usual. So he says when you cut, the pressure of cutting specifically imparts flavor into the food. That it sort of like shoots out, like you cut down and the flavor is expelled into the food. So that would bring up the question of, or it would alert us to the detail that we are discussing here, which is that we're specifically talking about cutting. We're not talking about using a spoon. We're not talking about using a fork. We are specifically here talking about the idea of cutting a sharp food. So it's a knife that was used for meat now being used to cut an onion. It is not right now what we're talking about, someone taking a meat fork and picking up an onion with it. Okay, that's not what we're talking about right now. Right now, we are talking about a knife. And Rashi says that is integral to what makes this problematic because he says it is the slicing, the pressure of cutting through the food that it in fact releases the flavor. So, Rashi's first reason is that the knife is different than other utensils since there is something sometimes leftover residue on the knife that would cause transfer of flavor to the davar charif. Rashi's second reason is that regardless of whether the knife is clean or not, the pressure of cutting a davar charif with a sharp knife causes a transfer of flavor. So what would be the practical halachic difference between these two reasons? It would be in a case where the knife was wiped clean and rinsed very well from any residual food prior to being used to cut the davar charif. Because then, according to the first reason of Rashi, it would no longer be problematic. But according to the second reason of Rashi, even if the knife was cleaned well, even if it was rinsed, washed, everything very well, it would still be problematic because it is the cutting action that transfers the flavor. So the Shulchan Aruch rules the following as the practical halacha. If you look in source number 20, Tzanun o silka shachatcham b'sakin shel basar bein yomo o she'enu mikonach asur la'achlam b'chalav. So he says, if you have a radish or a beet that you cut with a fleshig knife that is ben yomo, that was used that day, o she'eno mikoneach, or was not cleaned well, asur la'achlam b'chalav, you can't eat it with dairy. Why does he give these two criteria? It's to correspond to the two reasons he gave before. If you would say that the reason is because of the cutting action. He specifically says here it is He says specifically using a meat knife that was Benyomo or not wiped clean. So the Gra comments that by offering these two scenarios, the Shulchan Aruch appears to accept both explanations given by Rashi, as condition A corresponds to Rashi's second reason, that the sharpness of the Davar Charif creates a taste transfer, and condition B corresponds to the first reason, that we are concerned with the residue on the knife. So the fact that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that the knife is Benyomo and tells us that it was or that it wasn't cleaned well corresponds to Rashi's two reasons. That is, as you see in Be'er HaGra, source number 21, Vihu Kishnei HaTa'amim Shel Rashi Sham, that he explains here that the Shulchan Aruch is accepting both of the reasons of Rashi. Yes, both of the reasons of Rashi. So based on this, it seems that even if the knife is clean, cutting a davar charif with a meat knife will cause the food to have the status of meat and the same for dairy. So it's not just meat. There's nothing specific about the meat taste that transfers more than the dairy. It's just that if you use it for one, it then has that status. That if you cut it with a meat knife, it is now considered to be meat. You can only eat it with meat. And if you cut it with dairy, you can now only eat it with dairy. But it seems to be talking here.
What
Yeah.
now it's kind of drizzling. Drizzling. So, yes.
Okay, but up until this point, we seem to have been discussing Benyomo, that it was used within that day, that we're talking about a transfer of flavor that would be beneficial. Because we say within Benyomo, within the 24-hour period, we are concerned about the transfer of taste because it is to the improvement of the food, that it will add flavor. When we talk about Eino Benyomo, that it was after 24 hours, we say that any flavor that is transferred is going to be to the detriment of the new food, that it's going to be a worse flavor than was before. And anything that is to the detriment, we do not say is halachically significant. That's not going to turn it fleishig because we say that it's to the food's detriment that it's being transferred. So now we're going to look at the idea of cutting a davar charif with a non-benyomo knife. So all of this was with a Benyomo knife. Now we're talking about an Eino Benyomo knife, one that has not been used for 24 hours. So, for example, what happens when one cuts an onion with a meat knife where it is unknown when it was last used? And if it's unknown when it was last used, we assume that it has the status of Eino Benyomo. Alternatively, what is the halacha if one fried an omelet with onions in a meat frying pan that was not Benyomo? Do these onions then have the status of meat? And the Rishonim dispute this question. And the place where they look to understand this question is based on a Mishnah and Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which speaks about a specific herb called chiltit, which is forbidden when cut by an Eino Benyomo knife of a Gentile, which is presumed to have absorbed non-kosher flavor at one point due to its sharp taste. So the Gemara is not talking about our exact example, which is using all kosher foods, but just trying to switch between meat and dairy. Here it's talking about chiltit, this specific herb that was cut by a non-Jew, and whether or not you are allowed to use it, assuming that their utensils have absorbed non-kosher flavors. So if you look in source number 22, that is the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Ve'elu dvarim shel ovdei kochavim asurin ve'in asurin asur hana'a. Vikorat shel chiltit. He said, these are the things of the non-Jews that are not allowed to us. V'ein isurin isur hana'a, but there is no specific isur hana'a. It's just that you can't eat it, you can't consume it, but it doesn't have an isur hana'a. You could still sell it or use it for another purpose. And one of the items listed there is vikorat shel chiltit, which is a sliver of chiltit, this type of herb. So look in the Gemara, source number 33, source number 23. V'hakorei shel chiltit mai tama. The Gemara asks, what is the reason that the sliver of chiltit is prohibited? Why can't we use the sliver of chiltit? Mishum demipaskei lei besakina, because it is cut with a knife. Af al gavda amar mar notein ta'am lifgam mutar. So even if you say that this knife is eino ben yomo, and therefore, any flavor that it would impart would be lifgam, to the detriment. Agav chorfea dechiltita, mechalele shmoni nete vehavile kinotin ta'am leshevach ve'aser. He says, this principle does not apply in this case as a result of the sharpness of the chiltit. The act of slicing it with a knife enhances the taste of the non-kosher residue. So it's saying this herb is a flavor that enhances whatever it is transferred to. So even though typically we would say the transfer, if the item was eno benyomo, like if the knife was eno benyomo, then any flavor transfer would be to the detriment. But what he said, what is specified here in the Gemara is that with chilti, this sharp flavored herb, no matter when you cut it, this sharp flavor is only going to be to the betterment and not to the detriment. And therefore, it is like a prohibited substance that imparts flavor to the enhancement of a mixture and is still prohibited. So it says the concept of eino ben yomo notin ta'am lifgam would not apply here because the herb always adds better flavor. So the Gemara here indicates that a knife that is eino ben yomo will still cause flavor to be halachically transferred in the case of davar charif. However, the Rishonim dispute whether the ruling of the Gemara applies only in the case of chiltit, or it would apply to other divrei charif as well. So whether this is just a specific case in the Gemara, and it is self-contained to that, or whether the principles based off the chiltit can be applied to all other davar charif. So the Beis Yosef quotes this dispute. Source number 24. V'katav b'sefer hatrum, ad afilu eina sakim ben yomo, Asur da'agav chorfiya ditzanen o yarek michalei v'havei l'shevach, k'da amrinan gabe kori shel chilti. So the Sefer Teruma says that even if the sakin, even if the knife was not benyomo, it is not allowed to then be used with the opposite type of food, because cutting any davar charif will always be l'shevach, will always be to the improvement of the food. And we learn this from the Kori Shel Chiltit. So he says this applies to all Davar Charif, and we learn this from the Chiltit. Katav HaMaharam, but the Maharam tells us, Didavka B'Kori Shel Chiltit, that it is specifically with this sliver of Chiltit, Amrina DeChorfiya Mishave Le L'Shevach. Because it says that specifically its sharpness is to the betterment of the food, V'lo B'Shum Davar Acher Charif, but this is not true with any other davar charif, v'chein Rabbeinu Yechiel, v'harbi gedolim shavim lahatir. And there, and also Rabbeinu Yechiel and many other gedolim agree on that side, that the Sefer Teruma says that this applies to all davar charif, whereas the Maharam, Rabbeinu Yechiel, and many other poskim think that this only applies specifically to the chilti, that this was a specific case for that specific type of herb, and it wouldn't apply to any other davar charif. So now the Shulchan Aruch cites both opinions concerning the Eino Ben Yomo knife in discussing the status of a regular Davar Charif. So if we look in source number 25 in the Shulchan Aruch, Tzanun Otzelka, if we have a radish or a beet, Shechatcham B'sakin Shel Basar Ben Yomo, that you cut with a Ben Yomo knife, O She'eino Mekoneach, or one that was not wiped clean, Asur La'achlam B'chalav Ad She'yitol Mimakom HaChatach Kedei Netilat Makom. You can't eat this with the other type of food unless you remove enough from the item that you no longer have the part that touched the knife. So that's an idea that we didn't bring up previously, which is, let's say you have this happens to me a lot. I don't actually like red onions, but I don't know, maybe I'm strange. I don't like red onions, and a lot of recipes call for red onions, and I happen to think that they look really pretty. So sometimes I'll include red onion, but I don't actually like red onion, so I don't really want to use a lot of it. So what will I do? I'll cut off, and the red onions are usually big. So I cut off a piece, and I chop up that piece, and I use it in whatever I'm using, and then I put away the rest of the onion. So I had a whole big onion, and now I have like 3/4 of an onion. I cut it with a fleishig knife. Is the entire onion now fleishig? What the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us here is that no, just the piece that touched the fleishig knife is going to be considered to be fleishig. So therefore, if I take a parav knife now, and I cut a half inch inwards, and I remove all of the part that touched the fleishig knife, now I'm back to a parav onion. So he provides that as one idea of what to do. So he says, if you cut a davar charif with a ben yomo knife, it is considered to be fleishig or milchig, depending on what kind of knife you used. And the way to get rid of that is to move that place, like to get rid of the portion that touched the knife. V'yesh omrim, d'havi hadin le'eino ben yomo, v'hu mikuneach. And some say that this is also the halacha when it comes to eino ben yomo vehu mekuneach, and it was cleaned. So he says in both situations we're talking about a knife. No, in the first situation we're talking about ben yomo or that wasn't cleaned properly. He says, and some say that this is the case when it's eino ben yomo, when it's not ben yomo, and it was cleaned. So whatever the Shulchan Aruch presents one opinion as the standard opinion and then cites the opposing opinion, as some say, it is often assumed that the halacha follows the first opinion. If so, then a davar charif cut by an eino ben yomo meat or dairy knife would remain chariv, except concerning a chiltit. This is in fact the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch and the continuation of the simon with regards to crushing spices, where he only discusses a ben yomo utensil as creating an issue and does not cite the second opinion that a non-ben yomo utensil would have the same status. So if we look in source number 26, tavlin shenidochu b'meducha, so if you're crushing spices, shel basar ben yomo, that was also used to crush meat that within the day, asur le'achlam b'chalav, you can't eat them with dairy. However, the Ramah seems to disagree in the case of the spices, and therefore we can also assume that he disagrees with any davar charif as well. So the Ramah says, "V'yesh omrim afilu eino ben yomo," and he says some say that this applies even when it's not ben yomo. Okay, so based on the ruling of the Ramah, it seems clear that the practical halacha for Ashkenazim should be that in the case of a davar charif cut by an eino ben yomo knife or cooked in an eino ben yomo pot, it has the status of the knife or pot. With regard to Sfardim, one would think that since the Shulchan Aruch appears to rule in favor of the first opinion, the Davar Charif would remain Pariv if it was Eino Ben Yomo. However, a number of Sfardic Achronim, such as the Kaf HaChaim, rule in accordance with the second, more stringent opinion, except for cases of great need, and this is the ruling of the Sefer HaKashrus for Sfardim. So the Sefer HaKashrus summarizes below in source number 28. So when it comes to a situation where the knife is eino ben yomo, it has not been used within 24 hours, uvehefseid meruba, or if there is a case of great loss, ubeshat hadachak, and you really need to, hama'achal kulo mutar, it would completely be allowed. So this is one psak that he says that if it is eino ben yomo, and it is a case of need, then you can say that this food has remained pariv. On the other hand, Rav Ovadia Yosef holds that Sfarnim may always be lenient, not only in a Shas HaDachak. So if we look in the Abia Omer in source number 29, Rav Ovadia Yosef, Harav Chachmas Adam Bevinas Adam Sha'ar Isser Veheter Katav She'afal Pesha Harama Svira Le Lahachmir Bedavar Charif Afilu Be'eno Ben Yoma. He says, even though the Ramah held to be stringent in a case of davar charif when the knife was not ben yomo, mikol makom da'at ha-shulchan aruch hi she'rak le'inyan iser shel yesh la'achmir b'chol davar charif afilu be'eino ben yomo k'shehahi dechiltit. So he says, nevertheless, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is that only concerning non-kosher, one must be stringent concerning every davar charif, even if it is not ben yomo, as is learned from the case of the chiltit. V'kemosha pasak ben b'shulchan aruch, aval b'inyan basar v'chalav da'ato l'hakel. So he says that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, specifically when it comes to chiltit, which is when we're talking about not kosher. However, here, when it comes to only basar v'chalav da'ato l'hakel, it is the Shulchan Aruch's opinion that we should be mekel, kivan de'echa trate litivuta, because it's since there are two redeeming factors, not bar not, dehitira vegam no tin ta'am lefgam. Because you could say on the one hand that it is not bar not, and on the other hand, you could say that it is no tin ta'am lefgam, that it is only going to be to the detriment. Vechein tiri tagaon hachreti upleti, shapir yesh lesmoch al kol ha'achronim haniskarim la'ayal lehakel. So Rav Ovadia rules lekula. And he says that for any general davar charif, if it is cut with an eino ben yomo knife, that it is going to remain pariv, not just in a case of extra need or a specific like shas hadchak, but in any given situation. So again, to summarize, we talked about ben yomo that we talked about that if you are cutting food with a Beni Omo knife, then it is going to become fleshing. The only solution to get out of that situation and be able to use that item with the other type, so melchig or fleshig, whatever the knife wasn't, would be to remove that piece of the item. So cut off an extra like buffer zone so nothing touched the knife. The reason that we are strict with a davar charif is because the taste can absorb more. So we say either that it is a direct absorption, not bar not, that we're saying it's absorbing the meat directly, or the idea that cutting makes it absorb more, that the action of cutting disperses the flavor into the food. And then we had a machlokas when it came to the idea of eino ben yomo, that Ashkenazim ruled that even if it is eino ben yomo, it is going to make the food into fleshig or melchig, and you should not eat it with the opposite. Svardim, we saw two schools of thought. One is that we can be mekel, and that we can assume that this food is still pariv if it was cut with an eino ben yomo knife, only in a time of Shas Hatzchak. But then we saw lastly Rav Ovadia, who said that even in not in a Shas Hatzchak, there is enough contributing factors for us to assume that this food is still going to be pariv.